Hello, and welcome to yet another exciting edition of The Thought Police with me, Mike Graham, and him.
Joe Biden.
Grandpa,
you're unerringly higher.
Yeah. By the time you've seen this, or you've heard this podcast, Joe Biden would have had a debate with Donald Trump. And I think, actually, you know what? We were going to start with the debate from last night, but I'll tell you what.
This is serious. This is Donald Trump's new campaign video. This is not a joke.
Stick it there.
Okay, here we go.
If you're having trouble sleeping, ask your doctor about Bidenica, the sleep aid made from 100% Joe Biden press conference.
The best way to get something done, if you hold near and dear to you that you like to be able to... Anyway.
Bidenica has a patented blend of confusion and forgetfulness that will calm the most overactive brains.
COVID has taken this year, just since the outbreak, has taken more than 100 years. Look, here's the lives. Think about it.
When they sold out American jobs and killed the Keystone Pipeline, it kept me up all night worrying about how we pay our bills. But then I got Bidenica. And I've never slept better.
Sometimes when I get hopped up on sugar, my parents give me Bidenica so I pass out. Other times they give it to me during the day, probably so they can do the deed. Gross.
Warning. People who have used Bidenica have experienced rapid lying and an inability to secure the southern border. Others have hallucinated and fought breakfast cereals.
Corn Pop was a bad dude.
Ask your doctor if Bidenica is right for you.
That is classic, isn't it?
That is Donald Trump's official campaign video.
Right.
And it pretty much sums it up. I mean, we're ahead of the debate tonight, which will take place in Atlanta at CNN.
And
in America, political observers, all of Washington, are just stunned that Joe Biden is actually going to do this.
Yeah.
Everyone was convinced that he would work out a way to duck out of it,
yeah.
But it's going ahead.
And apparently he's been in sort of seclusion, shall we say, for about a week, training himself and trying to work out what to say, what to do. And of course, one of the things that Trump's been doing is telling everybody that they're coaching him, not only like physically and mentally, but they're also going to be filling him full of all sorts of drugs to make sure that he doesn't forget what he's saying. And at one point, I think, I don't know exactly who he told this to, but Trump said, yeah, they're giving him a load of cocaine to keep him up all night.
But Donald Trump is officially demanding that they both take drugs tests before they go onto the stage. And of course, Biden is refusing. Gee, I wonder why.
Yeah, gee.
I mean, I don't think they give him coke and I don't think they give him speed, but they give him something.
They'll probably give him Adderall or something
like
that.
Because
his mind concentrate.
And if you gave an old guy like that speed, you'd probably have a fucking heart attack. So but they give him something, and Trump wants proof that he's not hopped up on something. So
but it'll be very much more entertaining than I suppose all of the debates that we've seen. Although last night, Rishi Sunak actually looked like somebody who was prime ministerial. He finally started sticking it to Keir Starmer. Why didn't he fucking do this earlier?
I don't know. I mean, his desperation is turning him into someone who's quite kind of impressive. I mean, he was on the attack last night, and he was saying things we've all been wanting to scream at Joe Biden. What is your fucking target?
Keir Starmer,
what did I say, Joe Biden?
You said Joe Biden.
Yeah, that's a Joe Biden moment.
Yeah, right.
That we've all been wanting to say to Keir Starmer. What is your fucking target for migration? What is your fucking plan?
Right.
You know, what are your plans for everything?
Because all this bullshit, which he was quite right to point out about, was, you know, we're going to send them all back to the country they came from. Oh, really? Well, you've changed your fucking tune, because you used to be on the other side of the divide, stopping them from being sent back. But as Sunak said, well, you can't send them back to Afghanistan or Syria or fucking Iran. So what are you going to do with them?
Yeah, and by the way, here's another country you can't fucking send them back to. France.
Yeah.
That's the problem. He hasn't thought.
Particularly when they get their new government this weekend, which is more than likely to be the fucking national, whatever it's called. And was it national? It's not National Front.
Le Pen.
It used to be Le Front National.
It's a long, long French word.
Yeah,
it's like Agri Amano Nacional, Marine Le Pen. And I've been speaking to that guy, Gavin Mortimer. Really good guy.
He's good, isn't he?
Yeah, who writes for The Spectator.
Actually, you just reminded me, we should speak to him as well.
He's a great guest.
He's one of those guys that we haven't used for a while.
I had him on last week. He's great. Yeah. He's great. And he says that he's in no doubt whatsoever Le Pen's going to win.
Right. I don't think there's any question.
And that could be interesting. But, of course, with Le Pen in power and a Tory government, something might have been able to be worked out.
Yeah.
But with Le Pen in power and that prick Starmer, fucking forget it.
Yeah, exactly right.
I mean, last night at this, so we're talking the morning after the.
He just looks so vacuous. He didn't say anything. He's so vacuous. I mean, if he was your barrister, you'd fucking get him fired, wouldn't you? You'd go, I don't want this guy. He doesn't know what he's fucking doing.
He was a shit director of public prosecutions, shit head of the Crown
Prosecution. Oh, I gave my service. Do you know the other fucking woman who keeps saying that? Meghan Markle.
Yep.
The only people that use the word service was, I wish to serve.
As I always say, never trust anyone who calls their job service. People who work for the BBC sort of call it that. Right. Director generals of the BBC. Right. You know, give my life to service. Yeah, all for a measly £750,000 a fucking year.
Yeah, exactly. BBC have been in the news this week, haven't they? Because, first of all, they banned the fucking horse racing tips on Radio 4 today.
Yeah.
In a complete sort of reversal of serving the British people. In any way, shape, or form, you can imagine them all sitting around a room going, "Oh, it's a bit distasteful, isn't it?" All this only toffs go to the racing, and of course, the only other people that go to the racing are those horrible working class people that we don't need to employ here at the BBC.
Yeah.
So we're going to fucking do it on my show. We're going to do racing tips.
Good idea, great idea, and also, of course, it's that it's the BBC. Hand wringing, gambling's bad for people, you know. So, yet another pleasure,
right?
As in,
by the way, another thing to mention about that debate last night was the moderator, Michelle Hussein, who does the Radio 4 Today program, was fucking useless, wasn't she?
Yeah,
I'm gonna have to ask you to stop talking, if you don't mind. It was all this kind of stuff, it's like, shut up. This is how you deal with the people like that.
Well, she's a fucking high and mighty. Holier than thou bore, isn't she? Classic BBC.
Yes.
You know, useless on today, useless last night.
Right.
The only star of the show last night. As you say, Sunak came into his own a bit. So it was kind of good to see, but we all know that's too little too late.
Yeah.
But the only real star of the show was that guy who stood up and said to both of them, "Are you two really the best we can do?"
You can imagine Sunak standing there and grimacing.
Hi guys.
As you say, when he went, "You're a very mediocre Prime Minister."
Yeah,
fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
Talk about damned with
fake
praise.
Well, I thought that was rather kind.
Yes.
Mediocre is shite.
Yeah, but nobody wants to be told you're mediocre, do they?
No. But to standing next to Sunak was Mr. Mediocre. He goes on about when he was DPP, Director of Public Prosecutions. I was a fantastic DPP. He's the guy who
smashing gangs.
Yeah, no, he's the guy who arrested, I think it was 28 of our colleagues.
Yes.
Journalists for allegedly breaking the law.
At dawn.
Raided their houses and all apart from about three on the News of the World, all of them were acquitted.
Yes.
He wasted...
Well, some of them weren't even charged.
I mean, very few of them ever got to court.
But a lot of them never even went to the charging
point. So he wasted millions and millions and millions of the public purse pursuing journalists for crimes
and he did it all at the behest of fucking Gordon Brown's henchman, Fatty Watson, Tom Watson, remember?
And that's because Fatty Watson.
Remember, he lost a load of weight and then he put it all back on again.
He
lost all that weight and
he kept
seeing him everywhere, and he was on fucking TV shows. I've lost all this weight, I've given up the curries, and all this famous Birmingham guy, right? And as soon as he fucking fell off the wagon, he's put it all back on again.
Now
you never see him anymore.
And of course, now he's a lord.
Yes.
He got put up, promoted to the House of Lords in the way that they
did. Somebody try and stop him from getting that?
Well, everybody tried to, because he's the guy.
But did he get it in the end?
He's the guy who.
He was also the Carl Beach guy, wasn't he?
He's the guy who said that Carl Beach,
alongside
Nick,
that fuckwit James O'Brien,
was telling the truth.
Yeah.
You know, and that, you know, all these Ted Heath and people like that were part of some
murdering
sort of
children.
Murdering child paedophile ring.
Unbelievable.
Absolute bollocks.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was Starmer that said, no, he has to get his lordship. So he got it. It's out fucking range.
That is outrageous.
And by the way, talking of Starmer and the House of Lords, this is the cunt who... for
people
that.
People have been saying they've been pleased with the cunt count going up again.
Well, it's hard to mention the word Keir Starmer without adding cunt. He is the guy that, as part of his campaign, he's saying, why but change?
He
said that Labour will abolish the House of Lords. So I guess what he's going to do is appoint hundreds of new lords.
And fucking liar. What's the betting that some of those will be those who have come out just quite recently to actually decide that they've turned from the Conservatives to Labour Party, like John Cornwell, right? The guy who suddenly used to give loads of money to the Tories is now suddenly giving his allegiance to Labour, but not giving them any money.
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny. Businessmen do this just before it looks as if an election's going to go one way.
Yeah.
They go with the winner because they want their businesses to get good breaks from the government.
Right.
So that's what Cornwell's doing. That's what Theo Perfidis is doing. They support Labour like I support the fucking communists.
Right.
They do not support Labour. They're just doing...
hedging their bets.
Hedging their bets for a new government. But that is the way it goes.
But a week today, right? Well, some of you see this, probably a week today, which will be Friday, we'll have a fucking new government.
I know.
And more than likely, Keir Starmer will be Prime Minister. It hasn't quite sunk in, you know?
I really can wait, but fuck's sake, it's going to be a nightmare.
But
what I would like to say is, famous last words, but is he going to get this super majority? I'm hearing that some of these polling companies, but by the way, why have we got so many fucking polling companies? Millions.
There's a lot of money in it.
Yeah, really? I know. Well, this.
But as you always said, and you may say it again if you want, when you were in the Mirror and we were in newspapers, you do polls, the polling company would always say, "Well, what's the result you want?"
Yeah, no. I used to commission polls, and when I was features editor, and you'd phone them up and say, "Well, I'll do a poll on, should Dirty Den be axed from EastEnders?" We literally used to do that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And they would say, what result are you looking for? I'd say, leave it with us. You get the result. Yeah, you get the result you pay for.
Yeah.
But what I think about the polling in this election is, apparently, I'm hearing that one or two chief executives of these polling companies are considering their futures because they fear they might have got this badly wrong.
Yes.
Now, I don't think there's any doubt Labour are going to win.
I don't think so.
But I'm not sure about this supermajority. We're hearing right now there may be some trouble for reform, but as of now, the polls are predicting that maybe they might get 18 or 20 seats.
Yeah.
But we're hearing a story might break that might change that situation. Yeah. However, if reform get 20-25 seats, Labour don't get a super majority, they just...
And also the Lib Dems could end up being the opposition, which is the other astonishing thing. Can you imagine?
I
was talking to Peter Hitchens about this today. Can you imagine a situation where Keir Starmer and his fuck-witted acolytes are in charge, even with an ordinary majority, which is enough, could be 80, could be 100, which would be enough for them to do whatever they wanted. But the opposition is not actually fucking the Conservatives. It's bloody the Lib Dems.
Ed Davey. I mean, talking about cunts, coming
out. Oh, my God.
By the way, Ed Davey
keeps falling into water. Unfortunately, he keeps getting up and coming out as well.
I don't know if you've heard about this, because he doesn't like to talk about it. He keeps it quiet, but he's got a very severely disabled kids, and he's a carer.
He
never likes to make a thing. He doesn't try to get votes on the back of that. He doesn't employ his disabled kid as a prop for his electoral ambition.
Would never campaign.
That's what I like about it.
And he would never campaign and do a campaign video.
Leave your fucking kid out of it.
Shape or form,
I know. Leave your fucking kid out of it.
Yeah.
What kind of a man are you?
We've said this before. David Cameron never did that. David Cameron, as we all
know, that is true.
Had a very sad and tragic
Oscar,
story about his son Oscar, who ended up dying.
Yeah, he did die. Yeah.
But he never ever referred to it. Never talked about it. Apart from when they used to attack him on the subject of the NHS. I mean, apart from anything else, whatever you might say about David Cameron, I think overall he's quite a decent
I liked him for that. I liked him for that. Yeah. He was very good.
And he always said to anyone, particularly the lefties who would fucking have a go at him about the NHS, he said, "Look, I know exactly what the NHS is like because my son has been treated by the NHS for a very long time."
Yeah.
And I've got nothing but great respect for them.
Yeah.
Unlike the NHS now, because that was in the days when the NHS actually was okay.
Yeah.
It's now so fucking bad.
Yeah.
Did you see the doctor I had on who said that the thing is we can't work more than 3 days a week?
Oh, God, that was amazing.
amazing.
We might burn out. I couldn't believe my ears.
Yeah, and you kept saying, well, why don't you do 5 days a week? So you go, so you do 3 days a week. Well, why don't you do 5 days a week like everyone else? And he goes, well, that's impossible. And yeah, so I'm thinking,
impossible.
So when I heard him say that, I thought he was going to say, well, actually, you know, it's that I live 10 million miles away or something like that.
Well, the government but the
reason it was impossible was because of his fucking mental health.
Right.
Why don't you stick your fucking mental health up your lazy fucking arse, you doctor prick? I mean, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, I know.
Unbelievable. I mean,
it really is. And also, the subsequent interview that I did with Lawrence Buckman this week, and he said, actually, the problem is it's the...
They're lazy generation. Bastards.
They just don't want to do it.
I know.
That's the reason they don't do it. It's not because they're fucking in any way suffering, because he's not even saying he's suffering mental health problems. He's not saying he's suffering from burnout. He's only working 3 days a week in case he suffers from burnout.
I know. I mean, impossible.
Right.
Why? Mental health.
I'm afraid he made it onto Plank of the Week for that. Because, you know, so,
he deserved
it. And quite rightly, I was getting messages from people like HGV drivers going, we work 70-hour days, you know, air traffic controllers. They've got more fucking lives in their hands every single fucking day than this guy has.
Yeah.
He's a GP. He's not even a surgeon. You know, and you know as well as I do, GPs, an awful lot of what they do is see people who don't have anything wrong with them, talk to them for 10 minutes, and send them on their way with a packet of fucking antidepressants.
Yeah.
And that's their fucking job.
But they, you know, that doctor you had on, and other doctors, all these junior doctors, they seem to think that, you know, that stress at work and hard work is exclusive to them, that no one else has a job with any stress. No one else as a job.
And this is the NHS.
That
they demand
5 days.
They
of fucking
demand
week.
That you worship them. They demand that you look upon them as some kind of saintly operatives
who
don't even get paid any money at all because they do everything out of the goodness of their heart. Well, fuck off.
Well, they're
I've given up on the NHS.
Yeah, yeah. Those doctors, they're on the picket line right now. The junior doctors, you know, they're killing people.
Yeah,
it's as simple as that. They go, oh, you know, we've insured patient safety.
Yeah.
No, you fucking
are. Right.
If the doctors aren't in the hospital, people die.
Right.
Ask anyone.
You know as well as I do, the same doctor that I'm going to mention, I'm not going to mention her name, she asked me not to, but you know exactly who I mean. She sent me a thing the other day while I was having this conversation about the junior doctor strike, and it was a letter of referral that she had sent on behalf of somebody who was suffering from quite a serious bowel problem, and when the words across the front were action required urgently, and it had just come back from the referral clinic to say that this appointment has been cancelled, reason... junior doctor strike. I've tried to call, but no answer. Have sent a text.
Yeah.
We'll try to rearrange.
But
and that'll be happening to millions of people.
But these fucking striking doctors who say, oh, we've insured patient safety, they haven't.
Right.
People die because of these strikes. Do you remember not so long ago, at one point, you know, catastrophically, both the junior doctors and consultants were on strike. So there were no fucking doctors in the hospitals, and they're telling us that didn't compromise patient safety.
Fuck off.
Not only is that a lie, people would die.
Yeah, but they also say loads and loads of operations were cancelled, loads of procedures were cancelled. How can that not affect people's health? How can that not make it very, very difficult for people to get what they fucking want?
Yeah, yeah, and also people die because of it. So these striking doctors are killing people.
Yeah, of course.
And
they're still led by that little fucking four-eyed twat. You know, the bloke who goes on fucking skiing holidays.
The one with the rich parents.
One of the rich parents goes to ski. He doesn't think he's actually ever done any fucking doctoring in his life. He just stands on picket lines and tells everyone how hard it is for them all.
But those little cunts, by the way, I say little cunts as if they're all young.
Yes.
You know, loads of them are like 45 and 50.
Right.
They're called junior doctors.
Yeah.
But they're not young. Lots of them are, as I say, are middle-aged.
Yeah, yeah.
But if they do a deal with Labour straight after the election, you know, they've been demanding an absurd 35%.
Well, Keir Starmer's already said he's not going to give them that.
Yeah, but if they do
they know that.
Yeah, but they wouldn't do any deal with the Tories.
No.
If they do a deal with Labour, then it proves they're politically motivated little murdering cunts.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so these doctors, they're killing people, and if they do a deal with Labour straight after the election, and I think they will, it'll prove what little politically motivated arseholes they are.
Absolutely.
All they really wanted to do is to smash the evil Tories and ruin the Tory government.
But also, they're greedy, so they will continue to press for what they think they can get, because they think that actually the more they press Labour, the more they'll get. And the train drivers will be the same, the fucking R&T will be the same.
Mm-hmm.
They will all be going with their fucking begging bowls and their threats to yeah. Keir Starmer, and Keir Starmer won't know what to do.
Yeah.
Because also now the Labour Party, I'm told, is no longer the sort of party of the unions. You know, the unions don't control it as much as they used to, because they're now getting their own donors, they're all getting people, they're raising money different ways. So while they used to always be in the pocket of the unions, they're not so much now. And in fact, I think the RMT, under old fuckface, you know, Mick Lynch, are actually a Brexit-supporting union. So they don't like the Labour Party as such.
Yeah.
Right?
This is what you ask the TUC or any union. Which Mick runs your union? They're all called fucking Mick.
Yeah, Mick Lynch, Mick Whelan.
Yeah.
You know,
Mick
McManus.
But the prospect next week, so when the election happens, Labour will win. But if they get this projected massive majority, it's really frightening. I mean, that will become like a totalitarian.
Well, the wokists will
tyranny.
Take over, won't they?
Yeah.
And they'll probably
will become a tyranny.
They'll come after people like you and I.
Oh,
no
yeah.
fucking question.
It'll become a tyranny.
They'll go, you called sucking Sadiq Khan a cunt once.
Yeah, yeah.
Therefore, we're going to try and shut you down.
This actual podcast.
He's still a cunt, by the way.
This podcast, when we're calling Keir Starmer a cunt, will probably get us in jail after next Thursday.
Yeah.
But to go back to the election, I was listening to you and Peter Hitchens this morning on your excellent breakfast show. And he made a very good point, and I've been thinking about this. These polls coming at us thick and fast, three a day, you know, each one going, oh, bloody hell, the Tories are only going to get one seat and Keir Starmer's going to get a million and all this kind of crap. It's way beyond a prediction of what might happen.
Yeah.
It's become like an instruction to the people.
Right.
This is what you must do.
And if you wanna, keen on that, by the way.
Yeah, but if you want to go with the crowd, then you must do this. I don't like rules and regulations, but I think we've got to do something about it.
These new polls that they're calling, I can't remember what they call them, but this new kind of way of collecting data is now no longer just about polling people and asking them questions. It's about then taking that information and projecting it into all sorts of models, which we know models fucking don't work, right?
Yeah.
Because they can be wildly wrong. Like the models about climate change, the models about fucking clean air. So we're now looking at actual model projections of what they think the vote will be. And that is fucking absolutely riven with errors. It could be completely wrong.
But as Pinchas was pointing out to you, you know, people, look at social media. People love to be part of the crowd.
Yeah.
They move in blocks, you know, they're like a sort of lynch mob. Yeah. They like to all be together.
Yes, it's a tribal thing going on. Right?
Exactly right. So when people think, who am I going to vote for? When they see these polls, everyone's going to vote for Labour. I want to be in the in crowd. Right. I'll vote Labour. So it's gone from being what might be a vague prediction of what might happen on election day to almost a sort of tacit, covert instruction to the people.
Yeah.
I think it's destructive to democracy. However, if it turns out that Starmer doesn't get 800 seats and all that, if he just ends up with
like 100 or something.
A respectable majority.
Because
but
that's
not
still a fucking big swing. You've still got to get a really big swing to get that.
Yeah, and then and so the Tories do okay, and then Reform UK get 20 seats. Then these pollsters have all been fucking disastrously wrong, like they're wont to be.
Yeah.
You get these pollsters on, some of them very nice guys and all that. You ever say to them, well, you got that wrong. I mean, you get everything wrong, don't you? They get really defensive.
Yeah.
Oh, no, we don't. Yes, you fucking do.
It's not scientific. They keep saying that it's scientific. And then we get old Professor Curtis, who, God love him, is now looking more and more like he probably should stop doing that. Because it's obviously putting a great strain on his fucking life.
I kind of respect him.
I like Professor Curtis. He's always been great, but he's looking very old now.
An old guy.
You know. But the point is that he then will give you the poll of the polls, and he's like,
Poll of the polls, you see that? You know, this is
madness.
This
poll is good, that poll's that, you know. You know, there was that one poll that had Reform to overtake the Tories. We've never seen anything like that again. Mm-hmm. And I think that's very, very surprising and very interesting.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously, as you said, there might be some news reported around Reform. We'll see how that all pans out. But Reform, I think, at this moment in time, this message timed on Thursday at about, you know, coming up to 5 o'clock, is doing a lot better than anybody thinks.
You know, our friend Tim Miles,
yes,
right, former
News editor, former Daily Mail.
News editor, hack extraordinaire.
Hack extraordinaire, somewhat right of Genghis Khan. married to Wendy Henry, former editor of the News of the World. Also, yeah. Also not renowned for her left-wing opinions. Anyway, so they live not far from me, sort of what you might call West Hampton.
Yeah.
So he sent me a picture of his front window,
right.
And it's got vote reform. And he sent me a message saying, he's been up there 2 days, he said, I'll tell you what, there is something in the air. Yeah. He said, we fully expected our windows to be smashed by now, and they haven't been.
No. No, it's very interesting, very interesting. And I think, apart from anything else, just on a serious note about the polls, I think they're not designed to track that. They're designed for a two-party system. They're not designed to track something that's happening which isn't really recognisable. And also, a lot of people are very shy about saying they vote reform, like Tim would be.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know. Tim isn't, but most people are.
No, but what I'm saying is that he thought that people
would... He thought people would really react furiously, but they don't.
Now, we've got nearly 25 minutes into this podcast without mentioning the fucking football yet. You know, Gareth fucking Southgate.
Okay, so people want our cunt count to go up. So now we're going to talk about Gareth the cunt Woodgate. Southgate.
Yeah.
What
Woodgate,
a prick.
Southgate.
No, I'll tell you again. Gareth Woodgate was a guy. Was a reporter on the Daily Mail.
Right.
No, Gareth Southgate. What a cunt.
Yeah, absolutely. You can't really say any better fairer than that. You know, he's managed to take world-class footballers like Jade Bellingham. And turn them, and turn them into completely and utterly useless, unimaginative, fucking morons who can only pass the ball backwards.
I mean, think.
Why the fuck has he done that?
Look at this, right? So we're qualified. Okay, we got through the qualifier.
Yeah, but so what?
Yeah, but look at what we did.
He scored one goal.
Yeah, I know.
Three
games, one goal, 2-0 draws. Southgate, you. Fucking prick. What is the matter with you?
You know what's going to happen on Sunday, don't you? Slovakia, who we are now up against, and everybody's going, oh, the great thing here is, the great news is, right, that actually, you know, England's path to the final has been opened up because we could get through Slovakia and we can then probably play Italy or Switzerland, which is not bad, and then we might get the Netherlands in semi-final, and then we're in the final. And you're going, hang on a minute, you haven't fucking beaten anybody yet, apart from Serbia, who weren't very good, and you only just about managed to scrape through. How the fuck? I'll say this to you now. I bet you any money Slovakia ends up as a fucking...
I wouldn't mind betting. As a penalty shooter. They could easily be.
No, penalty shooter.
Good bet, that.
Yeah, you reckon.
Any fucking money.
Yeah.
Short odds, probably.
Yeah.
Penalty fucking shooter.
Yeah, we're in the pub, by the way. That's our friend who is making a very good point.
Very good.
If it's a penalty shootout, old fucking Southgate will unravel.
Oh, yeah.
I had a psychiatrist on my show last night. I thought last week actually, and you know that old trick we used to do on The Sun. Whenever there was a cunt in town and we couldn't think of a way of doing a story, we used to put them on the couch.
Right.
So it would be
good idea.
We used to be Tony Benn on the couch.
Yeah.
So we get
up with him?
Yeah, psychiatrist. Yeah. You know, anyway, so we put. So I got this psychiatrist, and we put Gareth Southgate.
That's a great idea. I like that.
And I didn't think it was going to reveal much, you know, because you know what they're like. Oh, I couldn't really talk about someone. Like that. Anyway, she goes. She said, I'll tell you exactly what's wrong with him. He suffers from a classic case of trauma wound.
Right.
She said when he missed that penalty. When
shooter.
He missed that penalty.
Right.
Ever since then, he's been suffering from a form of PTSD, post-traumatic shock syndrome.
Right.
It's psychologically, it's called trauma wound.
Right.
And she said, that's what makes him so kind of pathologically cautious.
Right.
He's terrified of his own shadow. So he can't send the team out to go, you guys, you see, what he should do, so you guys are fucking great footballers.
Right.
Go out there, enjoy
yourself.
Yeah,
except attack. Yeah, but except, because we've been having this conversation, as you can imagine, we've been having it all fucking week, and probably for the last 2 weeks in the office. And I was talking to this guy who said, what they should do is fucking literally hook Southgate out, put in an AI version of Terry Venables, fucking play Terry Venables to the fucking team at the start of the fucking game. Give them a fucking team talk at half time, bit of shouting, bit of fun and games, bit of, you know, we're all going out for a beer later. Yeah. And they play better, because what he's not doing, and I take your point, I know that, you know, there are great players, let them play to their heart's content. Yes, on the one hand, but also too, great teams have great managers. Because they know how to utilise all the players.
Yep.
He doesn't know how to do that. Exactly. He's playing them all out of position.
He doesn't know his team.
He doesn't know what... But Harry Kane said it. He said, we don't know what we're doing.
He actually said,
we don't know what we're doing.
Yeah. And so how did Gareth Southgate arrive at the Euros and not know who his first team
and
was?
And also...
He still doesn't.
How is he the highest paid manager? You know, he's the highest paid fucking manager there. £5 million quid a year.
Fucking
what a
wanker.
Cunt.
Fucking wanker.
Absolutely.
Harry Kane, by the way, captain unfranchised. Are we allowed to chant at football matches when Harry Kane is playing? Is he talks like a Hmong? No, I don't think we can do it. No, it's probably over the top. I'm only quoting what the football. Crowds, I think all of us know exactly what we're talking about. Anyway, so talk about not reading the fucking room. this guy comes on and he goes, if you're the boss at the top of the group, we'd have bitten your hand off. Fuck off, you can't just play some decent football. Yes. By the way, he has been playing like a fucking cart horse.
Exactly, but they all have. You know, Jude Bellingham's been passing the ball back more than he's been passing it forward.
I know.
You know, I said this about the Denmark game. The end of the Denmark game, the referee blew the whistle, just as England, on the edge of their own fucking half, were about to walk into the opponent's half. Just as the whistle went, the ball was passed backwards. And I thought, well, that's a fucking metaphor for what these fucking cunts are doing. It was 0-0, and they're passing the ball backwards.
The biggest shout among the England players when they're playing is, keepers on!
Yeah, right, absolutely.
Anyway, so Harry Kane goes on to get involved. It's far be it from me, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'm going to leap to the support of Gary Lineker.
No, I know, no, I'm saying.
And Alan Shearer.
It was shit.
Harry Kane starts saying, oh, you know, fuck off moaning about
us. You've never won nothing.
So Gary Lineker quite rightly says, well, what were we supposed to say?
Right.
That they're playing very, very well.
And actually, that's what they normally did say. And that's the thing that I found really interesting. After that Denmark game, I thought to myself, something's happened here. Because Gary Lineker would never usually slag off England or slag off a manager. It was a real watershed moment. Same for Shearer. Because, you know, there was this footballers club. Yeah, they all sit together. Yeah, yeah. And they didn't fucking do it this time.
Yeah, so then, in answer to this criticism from Lineker and Shearer, Kane goes... he goes, what did they ever win when they were wearing the England shirt? What did they ever win? I'll tell you what they won when they were winning the England shirt. Exactly the same as you dumb fuck.
The square root of fuck all. Yeah, but the difference between teams like England in Italia 90, teams like England when Shearer was in 90, Euro 96, they were entertaining teams. And I think the company that we keep and the people that we know and the people of this country would be fucking absolutely very forgiving if England were entertaining them.
Yeah,
and,
that's what
and,
I'm
and
saying.
But,
go
but
out
the fact
there.
Is, Italian, you know, Lineker was a great entertaining player, and much as it pains me to say so, I wish he'd shut the fuck
up. Great goal
but,
scorer.
Know,
so
great,
was Shearer.
Know,
so
but,
was
but
Shearer.
So was Shearer. Was brilliant. You know, Stuart Pearce, all of those guys, you know, it was something you looked forward to. Because even if you knew that you'd be disappointed, I mean, you know what it's like. I was talking to Peter Blexley today, and he was like, you know, I'm a QPR fan. He said, I don't look forward to the games very often, but we go because we want to fucking see the team play and play their fucking hearts out. And that's what you want to see. They're not doing that.
Exactly right. That's what I'm saying.
You don't mind if they
this
lose.
This is what I think Gareth Southgate should say. I mean, yes, you've got to be tactical. You've got to play professionally. These are the greatest players.
You know, getting into the last 16.
You've got to say, but in the end, he's got a. It is true. He has got the most talented squad in the tournament.
Yeah.
He should say to them, get out there. We've done the tactics. Mm. You fucking well enjoy yourself. Attack.
Yeah.
Attack.
Go for it.
You know, the worst thing that can happen to us, or. Look, when we play Slovakia, I think this, the best thing that could happen to us is they go one up.
Because
if we go one up, that fucking scared, frightened little dickhead Southgate will park the fucking bus and we'll lose.
Yeah. And I'm repeating my claim of earlier on penalties.
Yeah.
Everybody knows what happens when England go through on penalties. Remember, they went through on penalties, I think, a couple of times in the last two tournaments. But don't forget, we lost, England lost on fucking penalties in the final of the last Euros.
Unless something dramatic happens to England, they don't stand a chance.
No.
They don't stand
absolutely
a chance.
Absolutely no fucking chance.
Good luck.
Anyway, listen, next time we talk to you...
we'll have a new government.
We'll have a fucking Labour government, you fucking cunts.
Yeah.
You're fucking going to be responsible for fucking voting for them as well, you absolute fucking shower of shite.
But also, with a special announcement... We'll do it down the pub again, and the England squad are going to come and join us, because they'll be coming home.
Yeah.
Football's not coming home.
Well,
I said that today. Very good.
Bring the fucking rest of them home as well.
How many more fucking kids is Foden going to have,
also,
by the way?
You don't need to attend the birth of your third child.
Yeah.
Especially if you're going to end up having about seven.
I'll let him off for that. But we all thought it was probably his mother had set fire to someone or something.
Fucking excellent.
He doesn't come from the world's greatest family.
Yeah, but they've got
big house. Good luck to England, but, you know, fucking hell, they're going to need it.